Okay, as always, we thank the Frohlo Financial Group for sponsoring the afternoon call. I want to thank our sponsors for this week's learning, Rabbi and Mrs. Ronald Gross, in memory of his father, Moshe Pesach Nissen ben Tzvi Hirsch HaKohen, in memory of her mother, Harabanit Fruma Bas Harav Noach Zev. Their neshamas should have an aliyah. Just an important announcement. We are beginning with the change of clock, and Mincha Maariv being very late, we're starting a new early Mincha daily at 2:45 p.m. Part of the thinking is it's 15 minutes before the afternoon kol on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. So instead of coming at 3, come at 2:45, you'll chapa mincha. We'll have mincha 2:45 before the afternoon kol. We're starting a new topic. Yeah, we're starting a new topic today. I'm very excited about it. Happens to be a fascinating topic. I've always found it interesting. But also it overlaps with the Daf Yomi. Yesterday, a couple days ago, started a new perek today called Vasar, a great new perek. But the topic of Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. It's a little bit complex. It's a little bit detailed. It can be challenging, so we'll try to go slowly. And if there are any questions that bear further explanation, you'll let me know. So rather than go through, again, this is a Shas Sugya Shir. Our goal is not to see in depth. Our goal is to become literate on topics that overlap different areas, different Siddurim of Shas. And this is one of them. Torah has a principle. Halacha has a principle. Ein Isser. Chal al Isser. I thought it was double jeopardy, but I asked a lawyer, and double jeopardy means something else. It means that if you're liable for violating one prohibition through a certain act or behavior, you're only liable once. You cannot be held accountable twice, even if what you're doing violates a second prohibition. So, if you're eating something which is prohibited to consume for reason A, but what you're eating also happens to violate rule B, you'll only receive one set of lashes, only one set of malchus. You'll only bring one korban if you did it by accident. You're only liable, you're only held accountable once, because ein isser chal al isser. When an isser, when a prohibition is in place, a second prohibition cannot fall on the first prohibition. It's an area of halacha that, as I said, is a shas sugya, because it's not in only one specific area of shas. It deals with issues of yuchsin and ishus. It deals with isser of machalos asuros. It has to do with interpersonal relationships and damages. It has to do with forbidden foods. It's something that is a lot of different areas, which is why it's a topic for a shas sugyishir. Now, what's interesting is that as significant as this principle is, the Mishnah never explicitly communicates the principle. You will not find a Mishnah in Shas that says Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. Not only will you not find a Mishnah, the Gemara, when it tries to attribute who is the author, who is the one who's provided, who's introduced this principle of Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, the Gemara says only one time, it's Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is the one who holds Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. Now, obviously, more adopt it, but it's attributed to Reb Shimon. And thirdly, the Gemara spends more time talking about the exceptions to the rule than it does the rule. Spends more time talking about the exceptions to the rule than it does. So it's a very unusual rule. It's a rule that doesn't find its place in the Mishnah, only in the Gemara. It's a rule that's not attributed widely or universally, essentially to Reb Shimon. And it's a rule that we spend more time talking about when it doesn't apply than when it does apply. So what is the rule? Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. So I'll give you a few examples. A Tameya dies, you're not chayav for eating nevela. If an animal, Tameya, a non-kosher animal dies, and you would violate the prohibition of eating a non-kosher animal, the non-kosher animal also did not receive shechita. So we know that something is a nevela. It's a Torah prohibition of eating a nevela. If you eat something that met its demise other than through a proper halachic shechita, that's called a nevela. We call it a trefa. Trefa is different. Trefa is an even eligible kosher animal, even if you shecht it properly with all the chumras. But the animal had a disease that it could not survive, it had a terminal illness, it could not live 12 months, then that animal is a trefa and is prohibited. So in Yiddish, we refer to any non-kosher as treif. Cheese that's not kosher, we say it's treif. The cheese doesn't have a disease. It might, but it doesn't have a disease that it can't live. But we Yiddishize the word, we call it a trefa. So a temeya that's also a nevela, you're only chayav for temeya, you're not chayav for a nevela. Oh, it's a good question. I thought about that myself. How does this relate to, we studied over several sessions, the halachic principle of kimle b'derabamine, that if you violate something that incurs several punishments, you only receive the most stringent. But Kimlay, right, and Kimlay applied also, not only bin Abdul Lachavero, but bin Abdul Lamakum. If you're a chayef for something that had Kares, something that had Misa, and had Malkus, you only got the Misa, not the Malkus. How do you apply? When do you apply Kimlay? Very interesting. Yeah, so there is a relationship. I haven't researched or developed exactly what that relationship is. So the principle is Ein Isser Chalal Isser. If there's a prohibition in place, you're liable, you're accountable once, you're not subject to a second level of Isser. So for example, page number one, the Rambam, in Hilchos Isur Ebiya Perek Yud Zayin, the Rambam, when he codifies this principle, he gives it in the context of Isur Ebiya, and he gives the following example. You ready? We'll go slowly. Complicated. Kalal Gadol Hu B'chol HaYisurim Shebetorah. There's a very important rule in all Isurim in the Torah, Shein Isser Chalal Isser, that one prohibition cannot fall on another. You can't be in trouble twice. Ela Im Kain, and here we go with the exceptions. You ready? Ela Im Kain, Hayushnei Isurim Ba'in Ka'achas. The first exception to the rule is, what if both prohibitions fall simultaneously? You experience or you violate both prohibitions simultaneously. So it's interesting, the Acharon and the Shagas Aryeh and others point out that this exception to the rule is not so much because it's an exception, but because we feel we don't have any alternative. When two prohibitions fall, two equal prohibitions, neither is more strict than the other, two equal prohibitions fall simultaneously, since we don't know which one to adopt and which to dismiss, we have no choice but to say they both apply. So the first exception to the rule is bas achas. You do something and you violate the two isurim, be bas achas. Second exception to the rule. Second exception to the rule is what's called an Isser Mosif. Isser Mosif means a greater degree of applicability. It applies more broadly. So the first Isser applies narrowly, and the second Isser applies more broadly. And the Svara, that seems to be, the second Isser is not redundant in that case, it's adding something. So when the second Isser expands what the first Isser failed to provide, then we will say you're liable for the second Isser. So when the second Isser is redundant, you violated something that's narrow and all it is a lav, and there's a second thing which is narrow and it's all a lav, doesn't add anything, it's redundant, you're only liable for the first, not the second. But if the second Isser is mosif, it adds a greater debit, it applies to more people, then we'll say in that case, Isser chal al Isser. Oh, the Rambam gives a third exception. Imhaya kolal dvaram acherim im iser zeh. The Rambam's third exception is what he calls an iser kolal. What's an iser kolal? An iser kolal is not that it applies to more people, but that more applies to you. So if I eat an iser nevela, there's a non-kosher animal. I go to Publix and I buy some non-kosher meat. And now I ate an iser nevela. What happened if I eat that, I barbecue that non-kosher meat and I eat it on Yom Kippur? Am I liable both for eating Nevela and for Yom Kippur? Or do you say Ein Isser Chal al Isser? So Yom Kippur is also for more foods. Nevela is only the Nevela. But if I go over one section in Winn-Dixie, there's a kosher section. But Yom Kippur expands the prohibition, not only that I can't eat Nevela, Yom Kippur expands and it's not simply redundant. So now when I ate the Nevela, I violated eating Nevela. I also violated eating on Yom Kippur. Ein Isser Chal al Isser. No, Yom Kippur is a more expansive category because it applies to all foods, while Nevela only applies to Nevela. Some, by the way, only hold of Isser Mosif, but not Isser Kolal. Others hold both of Isser Mosif and Isser Kolal. The Rambam holds that both are exceptions. Isser Mosif and Isser Kolal. We're not going to spend time, at least not today, in better defining Mosif and Kolal to understand what type of expansion of the definition does everybody agree with? And what is expanding an Isser that not everybody would agree with? But those are three exceptions the Rambam has. So again, the rule is Ein Isser Chal al Isser. One Isser can't apply once one is already in force, in place. With three exceptions. If it's Bas Achas, if the two came at once, we don't know which one to adopt and which one to reject. Therefore, you're liable for both. If it's Isser Mosif, means that instead of just applying to you, it applies to more people. So this second prohibition expanded the prohibition from just you to more people, then it'll apply. Category number three is Isser Kolel. It didn't apply to more people, but it applied to you in a more expansive way. Before, only nevela was asur. Now on Yom Kippur, not just nevela, all food is asur. So it's an iser kolel. It's kolel, more things for you. So iser mosif is not about more applicability to you. It's that it applies to more people other than you. Whereas iser kolel is, it applies to more things for you. We're still talking about you, but we've expanded from the narrow category that applies to you to more people that applies to you. There is a fourth exception that the Rambam does not mention here, which is called Isser Chomer. The Gemara Kedushin Ayin Zayin says, if it adds an additional layer of Chumrah, so if the first thing that you ate was only Asr Ba'achila, the first thing you ate was Asr to eat, but there's a second level of prohibition that adds not only a prohibition to eat, but also a prohibition in Hana'ah. You can't derive any benefit. So there you've expanded it not to more people, and you've not expanded it to other foods, you've expanded it to a more severe consequence, Isser Chamur. So what all the exceptions, with the exception of Basachas, what three out of the four exceptions have in common is that they make the second prohibition not redundant, but there's something different and expansive about it. You could expand by expanding to more people. You could expand by expanding to the same person, you, but more things. You could expand by keeping it with you and the same thing, but expanding the level of severity, making it more chamor. So the rule is ain iser chalal iser, with the exception iser is chalal iser, if it's an iser mosif, an iser kolo, or an iser chamor, or bas achas. Good. Now the Rambam is going to spell it out. Here's the part that can get tricky. You ready? Halacha tesan yud. Lefichach. Isha shahaisa almana. V'naaseis grusha. V'naaseis chalala. V'naaseis zona. You have a woman. Her first husband dies, leaving her a widow. She remarries and gets divorced. Now she's a widow and a divorcee. She remarries, she gets divorced, and she becomes a chalala. She engaged in a behavior which made her ineligible to marry a kohen. She then became a widow, a divorcee, ineligible to marry a kohen, and acted promiscuously that now she has the status of zona. And bala kohen gadol. It happens to be this is the woman the kohen gadol has been waiting for his whole life. He's been looking for. He's been going from sharchan to sharchan, the kohen gadol, and he says, Mr. Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Mistami Yitzmicha, Doctor, Rabbi Doctor Kohen Gadol, what are you looking for? Tell us what you're looking for in a woman. So the Kohen Gadol says, I'll tell you, I'm looking for any of the women on their resume you have on the top, almana, grusha, chalala, zona, that's what I'm looking for. I don't care what seminary, how tall, I don't care what size dress she wears, I want an almana, grusha, chalala, zona. So the Kohen Gadol's ba'aleha, he has relations. How many sets of malchus does he get? Acharkach, loka arba malchus abia achas. Says the Rambam, one act of intimacy, 160 malchus, 40 times 4. Chazal will determine how many he can withstand, and they'll reduce it to the number, make sure he doesn't die as a result of it. That's the Gemara Malchus. But, in theory, one act brings four punishments. Aye, what happened to Anus or Chalal Isser? So the Rambam is trying to show, well, interesting, he doesn't give the reason of Bas Achas, because then you don't need. They came. His one act was Bas Achas, but her status is derived in succession. She wasn't an almana chalala, almana grusha chalala zona be Bas Achas. That would be a neat trick. She didn't pull off that trick. She became first an almana, then she had to remarry to become a grusha, then she became a chalala, then she became a zona. So it's not Bas Achas. Hold on, let's see the Rambam. So why is he getting four sets of malchus? Ha'almana asura l'kohen gadol umuteres lehedyo. Because that's an iser mosif. On the one hand, an almana is only asur to the kohen gadol, but an almana, a regular kohen, can marry an almana. A regular kohen can marry a widow. Chazra lios grusha, she remarries and gets divorced. Nosef ba iser v'neseres l'kohen hedyo. So now, you added your iser mosif. When the Kohen Gadol sleeps with her, her being a grusha was mosif on her being an almana. As an almana, she was only ineligible to him, the Kohen Gadol. As a grusha, it's a more expansive category. She's forbidden to him, the Kohen Gadol, and now forbidden to any Kohen. But even when she's a grusha, she can eat truma. So even though she's a almana and a grusha, she's eligible to eat truma. Na says chalala, but if she does something to make her ineligible to a kohen, she becomes a chalala. So again, you're mosif. What are you mosif now? Isser shayinaseres betruma. So you've added another layer. Now she's forbidden to consume truma, but still, there's some schlepper Yisrael who can marry her. This almana, grusha, chalala is still eligible to some Yisrael. But you add the last category, nasei zona, however you define zona, she's promiscuous. However, yeshem znus she'osra al Yisrael im zinsa ishta baratzon, she became a zona, a woman who has an affair, is asa labal, asa laboel. So a woman who's mezana, a married woman who's mezana with another man, an ashes ish, becomes asa labal and asa laboel. She cannot settle down, neither with the man with whom she cheated, nor can she return to the husband. Biratzon. For Yisrael, I'm sorry, that's if she's mezana, biratzon. Nosav, but, right, if she were raped, then she could go back to the husband. Mutar labal. It's only biratzon. If she chose to have infidelity, that's when she can't go back to the husband. Nosav ba isar acher. So now Yisrael can't marry her either, or that husband can't marry her because she's a zona. So the Rambam just gave a great example, an extreme example, to illustrate the principles. Ein isar chalal isar. So let's go in reverse. Vuhu adin lekohen hedyo. Now, what happened if a regular kohen slept with a grusha who became a chalala, who became a zona? Loka shalosh abia achas. So if a regular kohen slept with a grusha, so the grusha was forbidden to him. If she then became a chalala, that's expansive, now she can't eat truma. If she then became a zona, she was also to a Yisrael. So therefore, he would get three for the one act. However, says the Rambam, im nishtana seder zein aloka ela achas. So if the kohen gadol slept with a woman who first became a zona, then a chalala, then a grusha, then an almana, rather than expanding categories, you are only adding on more narrow categories, then you'd say, ein iser chalal iser, the kohen, so when he gets her shidduch resume, he's got a check. He says, you're an almana, grusha, chalala, zona. He says to the shadchan, I need you to find out for me what order those four things happened. If she first became a zona, then a chalala, then a grusha, then an almana, I'll only get malchus once. If she was an almana who became a grusha, who became a chalala, who became a zona, I don't think I could take 140 lashes, right? What did I say? 4 times 40. 160, I got that right? 160, I got that wrong. I was never good at math. Minus 4. I'm so minus 4, okay. I was never good at math, I apologize. But, he can't withstand all those malchus, so he's got to find out what order. So this Rambam, as I said, is an extreme example, but it's the application of the principle of the exceptions of the rule. If he does it in one order, where you're adding categories that are more narrow than the original Isser, then Ein Isser Chalal Isser, you're only liable for one consequence. But if you added categories which are mosif, which apply to more people, or apply to you in more ways, or apply to you in more severe ways, Isser Kolal, Isser Mosif, Isser Chamor, Bas Achas, then Isser Chal Al Isser. Okay? That's our principle, and those are our exceptions. So far, is everybody or is anybody with me?
Everybody.
You're with me? Okay, good. That's all page one. Yeah. Correct, correct. Not everybody holds. Right. That is an example from the Gemara. So that's why different Rishonim hold of different categories, and we'll get through it a little bit. What is the nature of Ein Isser Chalal Isser? What is its source? Where does it come from? As I said, the Mishnah never quotes it. It's attributed to Reb Shimon. We spend more time going through the exceptions of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. So where does it come from? The Tosfos Rishonim on page 2 on Yevamos. The Gemara on Yevamos is talking here about a case. You have an Eishes Ach who became Achos Isha. Right? You could have one woman who is who is several violations. But one of the violations can fall away because her husband dies, so she's no longer your brother's wife and your sister's and your wife's sister at the same time. Anyway, in this context, the Tosfos Yeshanim says, if you look where I underlined, if you have a magnifying glass, he says, "Halo ein zurak svara de'ein iser chalal iser." So the Tosfos Yeshanim says, don't look for a pasuk, you're not going to find it. It's not a binyan av, it's not a gzeres hakasov. Don't look for a pasuk. The rule, ein iser chalal iser, is a rule which is a svara. Now we studied Motza Mechavera Lavaraya. Motza Mechavera Lavaraya, the Gemara said, "Lamali cross svara hu." Why do I need a pasuk? It's a svara. And there's only one other place in Shas that says Lamali cross svara rejects the pasuk and adopts it only as a svara. What other place is that? Pesha asa pesha hitir. I actually prepared a whole chabur. I thought that was going to be our next subject, but then we got to Einas Achal Alasar. So, in Mitzvah Shembli Neder, after this, we'll do Pesha asa pesha hitir. Is that a denamigo? How does that work? Pesha asa pesha hitir means a woman moves to the neighborhood and she says, "I'm married. I was married. We never met her before." So her chazaka was that she's single. We never married. The assumption is she was single. She tells us, "I was once married, but I'm divorced." So we are pesha asa, pesha hitir, shehitir. She's the one who said she was married. Being married makes you ineligible to anyone else. She's the one who said that she's divorced. We believe her on both. Whereas, by the way, if a woman moves here and I was at her wedding, I say, "I know you were married." And she says, "Yeah, but I got divorced." I say, "Show me the get. Who's the Masadr get? Do you have the receipt from the get?" "No, I don't have anything, believe me." You not believe her. Because there, she's not the Pesha Aser. So you can't be the Pesha Hittir if you weren't the Pesha Aser. So why Pesha Aser, Pesha Hittir? Fast forward to Mirtz Hashem, we'll get to this. But that is, the Gemara says, the only second time Lamali cross Svara. We mentioned, Tosus points out, sometimes the Gemara will say, Ibois Eimakra, Ibois Eimasvara. You could learn it either from a pasuk or from logical deduction. And sometimes the Gemara will say, "Lamali kra, who needs a pasuk? Svara." Torah wouldn't waste its time giving you the pasuk. It's so logical. So the only two times that it says it's so logical there's no pasuk are Motzei Mechaveh Olav Arai and Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir. Tosfos says, so why sometimes does it say Ibai Zeh Makra, Ibai Zeh Masvara? Because if the Svara is not so great, you still need the pasuk. Not all Svaras were created equal. Not all svaras were created equal. So, if you have a really compelling svara, you don't even need the pasuk. If you have a pretty good svara, it's worth quoting, but it's not entirely compelling, you still needed the pasuk. So, Tosfos Yeshanim holds that Ein Iser Chalal Iser is svara. What's the svara? He doesn't say what the svara is. He just says it's a svara. What's the logic? What's the logic? I don't think the same rule, Ein Iser Chalal Iser, applies in American law. If you do one act and you're caught on several, you're found guilty on several counts. You have to sit, you've been sentenced to 5 life sentences. You don't say Ein Iser Chalal Iser. Okay, the judge has the right to be lenient, to be meko, to have compassion. But in terms of it's such a great svara, American law, I don't think. I'm not a lawyer. Now I've told you, I'm not good at math. I'm not a lawyer. I'll tell you the rest of the great disappointments that I am. So I'm not sure, but if it's such a compelling svara, so what's the svara? Ein iser chalal iser. What's the svara? The Tosfos Yeshanim is not the only one who says it. Azoy zok the Minchas Chinuch as well. Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Kuf Tzadi on page 3. Rav Minchas Chinuch has the following question. On the right-hand column, conveniently where the arrow is. Vani masupok ibe ben Noach shach gam kein ein iser chalal iser. Ooh. Jews aren't the only ones who have isurim. We happen to have 613 of them. Okay, some of those are mitzvahs. We have a lot of isurim, but b'nei Noach, non-Jews also have 7. So would you say about a ben Noach, ein iser chalal iser? Would you say about a ben Noach, ein iser chalal iser? And the Minchas Chinuch then goes through what would be the case, the example that you might be tempted or that you'd wonder, what's the nafkamina, whether a ben Noach has ein iser chalal iser. But if you skip down, because I'm not concerned with the details, but the principle, he writes, V'nira de'ein chilak b'zeh b'dein Yisrael, de'kamo gab Yisrael lo yafin etzeh mikro rak svara, kama pa'amin b'shas, Dekevan de mushbova omed hu ein chalalav od iser. Im kein gabe ben noach nami ein iser chalal iser. Im lo kola lumosiv kama b'Yisrael. The Minchas Chinuch concludes, because ein iser chalal iser is a svara, because we arrive at this principle from logic, and the Gemara references the logic through which we've arrived at it several times, therefore it applies to a non-Jew. When we learn something from a pasuk, so the Torah was speaking specifically to legislate and regulate for Jews. But when it uses logic, then the logic is for a non-Jew as well. By the way, based on the Minchas Chinuch, so the rule of Motza Mechaver Elavaraya and Pesha Asa Pesha Hittir should apply to a non-Jew too, to a Ben Noach. Ben Noach have one of the Sheva Mitzvahs is Dinim. They have to have a system of justice, a system of law. So Mestama, in their system of law, in the non-Jewish court of law, according to Jewish rules, we should have to apply the same principle, Motza Mechaver Elavaraya and Pesha Asa Pesha Hittir, because the Minchas Chinuch says, when we arrive at something out of a Svara, not as a Pasuk, then it applies equally to non-Jews as to Jews. Here, he mentioned in passing, and what is that Svara? The Gemara mentioned several times that there's a Svara. Rak Svara kama om pamim b'shas. And what's the Svara? De kevan de mujibu v'omedhu ein chala lav od iser. Ooh. What's the Svara? Yeah. Good.
How can he be? What's the circumstance?
Interesting. Good. So Rabbi Brand is pointing out a fantastic kash in the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch in the very same sentence is saying it applies to the Ben Noach because the Svara, what's the Svara? We were all at Har Sinai. Really? The Ben Noach was at Har Sinai? So you have to say what the Minchas Chinuch means is that we have certain assumed obligations. We don't have to elect, we don't have to opt in. That we are born with certain responsibilities, obligations, consequences. Mushbuva omeid means whether we subscribe to it or not, this is binding upon us. So Jews have things that are binding in Sinai. Non-Jews have things that are binding just from having been born. Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So since we are born into a world where we are bound by certain rules, what benefit is there to add a second liability? You're already mushbuva omeid. You already have a liability. We've got you on the liability. What benefit is there to adding a second liability? It's unclear exactly what the Svara of the Minchas Chinuch, I'm open to suggestions. What exactly is the Svara of the Minchas Chinuch is alluding to?
What he's trying to say is, okay, the shooting us with the name Noach, so you've got to go back to the Svara at the same time.
No, but what's the Svara that, so okay, so I'm Mushbuva Omeid. As an American born into America, I'm an American citizen, I'm bound by the American legal system. That doesn't stop the American legal system from holding me accountable for multiple things and finding me guilty on five charges. So what's the Svara? You could be born and bound into a system and still have multiple consequences and violations. I'm not asking a kasha on the Minchas Chinuch, I'm trying to understand. I says it, if anyone can explain it to me, I welcome the explanation. What is he saying that it's such a clear Svara? You're mushbuva omeid. You're already liable once. Why bother adding a second liability? Well, because you violated a second thing. In your one act, you violated multiple things. You bear the consequence, the liability, the accountability for several things. Unclear exactly what the Minchas Chinuch is saying is the Svara, but so far I wanted to show you that the Tosfos Yeshanim and later the Minchas Chinuch both adopt the position that Ein Iser Chalal Iser is derived from Svara. It's not a Pasuk, it's not Binyanav, no Gzeres HaKosev, it is derived from Svara. We'll come back to exactly what that Svara is. We'll come back to it. The Tosfos in Sanhedrin, bottom of page 3. Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Pei Gimel Amid Beis. Tosfos learned it from a Binyan Av. What's the Binyan Av? The Gemara has the case of a Kohen who's Tamei, who eats Truma Tameya. So there's two violations. A Kohen who's Tamei can't eat Truma. And even a Kohen who is Tohor can't eat Truma Tameya. He's got a double whammy. He's both a Kohen Tamei eating Truma Tameya. So the Gemara's conclusion is, Ein Iser Chalal Iser, and you don't get Misa. Even though the more severe, the second one would bring Misa, but because Ein Iser Chalal Iser, you don't get Misa, because you're only liable for the first, you're a Kohen Tameh, you're not liable for eating Truma Tameh, and therefore you don't get Misa. So Tosfos here says, V'alfinon mina ba'alma de Ein Iser Chalal Iser. through the principle, the hermeneutical, I just like to use that fancy word, that hermeneutical principle of Binyan Av. We say the Rabbi Yishmael, the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatorah Nidrashas Behem. So through that principle of Binyan Av, the Torah tells us in that particular case that a Kohen who's Tamei, who eats Truma, that's Tamei, doesn't get Misa, which is the more severe penalty for the second Isser. Why doesn't he get that? Because Ein Isser Chalal Isser. You only got him once, you can't get him twice. V'alfina mina, says Tosfos, and we learn from there to all other Isurim that Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. So that is the second opinion. One second, that it's not a Svara. Tosfos Yishanam, the Minchas Chinuch said it's a Svara. Tosfos says, Svara, we learn it from a Pasuk, and there's a Binyanah from that Pasuk to apply it to all Isurim. The Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam, page 4. The Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who gives a third suggestion. And the third suggestion is, Rabbeinu Tam learns it. Again, I have to tell you to bring your magnifying glasses from now on. Perish Rabbeinu Tam, Shamina le denozo sheshosu yayin biyom ha-kipurim, ein chayiv mishum yom ha-kipurim. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. If he drinks wine on Yom Kippur, is he liable now for Yom Kippur? So the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam as saying, no, we learn from the Nazir who drinks wine on Yom Kippur that he's not liable for Yom Kippur. You already got him for drinking wine. Oh, so why isn't Yom Kippur an Isser Mosif? Because Yayin just applied to you, the Nazir. Yom Kippur added, not just the wine, but all food. It's a good kasha, I'm not sure exactly. So at least the way the Rosh is quoting Rabbeinu Tam, either he doesn't hold of Mosif, either he doesn't hold the Mosif, or he doesn't hold Yom Kippur is Mosif. Whatever the technical reason, he doesn't apply Mosif. Again, I'm just showing you what he sees as the mucker for the rule Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. To him, the mucker of the rule Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, it's not a Svara. It's not the case of a Kohen Tomei eating Shum and Tomeya. It's the case of the Nazir. It's a funny Pasuk to have a Binyanah from, because the Pasuk never says it. The Pasuk says a Nazir shouldn't drink wine. Yayim B'Sheikha Al Teisht. It doesn't talk about Yom Kippur. Rabbeinu Tam is learning, when is it you're liable? But if it's Yom Kippur, you're still only liable because Yayin V'Sheikha Al Teisht. It's a very funny Rabbeinu Tam. It's a very funny Rabbeinu Tam because the Pasuk doesn't talk about the Nazir eating Yom Kippur. But still, the Rosh is quoting Rabbeinu Tam as saying, we're learning it, V'yafinan mina. Again, B'chol Duchta, we're learning from here to all other places from this case of the Nazir and Yom Kippur. Speaking of the Nazir and Yom Kippur, here's a halacha lemaisa. I'm sorry, you had a... Kohen Tamei and Shuma Tamei. Right. Good question. It's a good question. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, again, the relationship of Kimlei with Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. If Misa is the more severe penalty, when the Kohen is Tamei eats the Shuma Tamei, why don't we say... We'll give you the... what's the relationship between Kimlei and Ein Isser Chal Al Isser? B'li Neder, I'm going to look into it because I was bothered by the same question. Yeah, we're saying he became Tamei before he ate the Truma Tamei. That's why that's the first Isser, and the more severe one with Misa he doesn't get Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. So maybe you only say Kimlei D'Rabbi Minei when it's the same act. So on the one hand, this is kind of the same act because... He's eating something you have with a Tumas Haguf. He's a Tamei Kohen. So being a Kohen Tamei is not an Isser. Being a Kohen is Tamei and eating Truma is the Isser. The Truma is also Tamei. So both things were simultaneous. So maybe you should say Kimlei. It's a good question. Good question. We'll have to come back to it. There's a famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. One year where Rabbi Yisrael Salanter lived, there was an outbreak of a certain plague, cholera. I think cholera it's called. It's an intestinal disease. It's cholera, which is an intestinal disease which can be lethal. So Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva here. It's on pages 5 and 6. And Rav Asher is dealing with the following. Is the story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter a real story? or is it an apocryphal story? So in the version of the story that we all know, Rabbi Yisrael got up in front of his shul Yom Kippur Kol Nidre night, and because the cholera is pikuach nefesh, it can kill you, in order to be a role model to show the whole community that pikuach nefesh is doche Yom Kippur, he made kiddush, and he drank from the kiddush, and he showed everybody this year, because of this plague and this threat, he's writing this letter to his Yedid Nefesh, the Gon, the Mitzuyan anonymous, so we don't know who it's to. And Rav Asher Weiss is writing to him, this other Rav wanted to be Mechadish about our capacity to be lenient on fast days based on this story of Yisrael Salanter. There was a cholera outbreak, and even those who were healthy, he told that they should eat. On Yom Kippur of Yisrael got up on the bima, and he ate for everyone to see. He did it on Yom Kippur, it's so strict, so stringent, because he wanted to impress upon the people just how important, even if they felt healthy in the moment, the danger is so great they had to eat. The Chidesh, and he says, Rav Asher, the one he's writing the letter to, certainly on minor fast days, even those who are healthy, but if they run a risk of getting sick, if Rav Yisrael Salanter was willing to paskin to a healthy community who ran the risk of getting cholera, they could break Yom Kippur, then we, even on a fast day that we're healthy, but we run the risk of dehydration, drink. That's the argument of this rabbi. Said Rav Asher Weiss, I don't think this is a compelling argument for the following reasons. Says Rav Asher Weiss, and you got to love Rav Asher Weiss, only Rav Asher Weiss can say this. He says, first of all, it's not so clear to me that this story is true at all. It could be an apocryphal story. I'm not sure about the story. And in fact, we have different traditions of exactly what this means. So in the Makor Baruch of Epstein, the story is that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter went on the Bima, he made Kiddush, and Kiddush had Makom Suda. So he had some Mizonos. It's impossible to believe he ate a shear. Because even when you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, you're supposed to eat pachas me shear. We paskin, even a sick person who needs to eat on Yom Kippur does not recite Kiddush first. Mishnah Brura. So Rav Asher Weiss says, I don't understand this version of the story. It has to be apocryphal, I don't believe it, because Rabbi Yisrael wouldn't have eaten a full shear in order to make a Kiddush Makom Suda, because first of all, he wouldn't have eaten a full shear a chol eating on Yom Kippur. Second of all, he wouldn't be making Kiddush, because a chol eats on Yom Kippur doesn't make Kiddush. Ubezeva tenuas ha-musar, perak al-chaya, gom Rabbi Yisrael salantar kasa, gam hu anal, ach baras kasa shal divrei b'no, shal Rabbi Yisrael salantar pasak lechol pachas mikashir, a lot of different versions. Why am I bringing this here? What is its relevancy? Go to the bottom paragraph. B'shas Shuvas Harabaz, like Gaon Rabbi Yehuda Zev Shaparan, who was the Av Beis Din of Bucharest, Simon Yud Aleph. Hevi, I actually looked it up inside this Shuva, very interesting. Hevi Shai Gaon Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Nosan Eitz Alesor Me'erv Yom Kippur Es Kol Ha'ochel Bekonam V'Shuva Ein Yisr Chal Alisik Deli Notzom Yisr Karas Yom Kippur. He has another version of what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter did, and that's why I'm bringing this to you. What did Rabbi Yisrael Salanter do? He sent out a massive email, Constant Contact, to the whole city before Yom Kippur, and he instructed everybody to take a neder, assuring their food upon themselves. Hareini, a person would take a neder, I hereby forbid all my food on me. Kona malai, I take a prohibition, all my food is asur on me. Why did Rabbi Yisrael Salanter give that advice? Oh, pikchus, such brilliance. Rabbi Yisrael said, if when Yom Kippur begins, everyone's food is already asur to them because they've taken a neder, and they've turned the food into prohibition for them, now when they eat on Yom Kippur, they're not violating Yom Kippur. They're violating the neder. The neder is a lav. Yom Kippur is an Isser Kares. To order to relieve, to avoid the Isser Kares, ain Isser Chalal Isser, by taking a neder before Yom Kippur. That was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, what he was thinking during this cholera outbreak. Interesting. Now first of all, why wouldn't Yom Kippur be an Isser Mosif? As we said, Yom Kippur is a classic Isser Mosif. The food that you took the neder on, so that's food is Asur Midin Neder. But Yom Kippur now is an Isser Mosif, or Isser Kolo. For you, it expands to other foods. So it's not Mosif. Mosif means to other people. Isser Kolo means to you, but other categories. So the thing you took a neder on is the food. The Isser Yom Kippur is an Isser Kolel that includes all other foods. Your friend's food, you didn't take a neder on. You took a neder on all food in the world, all food in the universe. It's Kola Ochel. Yeah. Okay, good. That's also Svara, right? Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Maybe you'd say the opposite. Right, unclear exactly how that works. The Ganav, yeah. I understand that. It only has to be Basachas is one of the exceptions. It doesn't have to be Basachas and Kolel. It's either Basachas or Kolel. Here it seems to be Kolel. He must hold like the Rabbeinu Tam that the Rosh quoted, that for whatever reason, Yom Kippur is not, like the Yom Kippur in Nazir, Yom Kippur is not Kolel. So Rav Asher quotes that this Av Beis Din of Bucharest didn't like this suggestion. And I know that Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this. Gamu, Harei la mevucha bin yisipur zeh, gam besifra shalas tshuvas, shal tkufa, even in the shalas tshuvas of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta's generation. They also had a big controversy exactly what this meant. So, I don't want to go through this whole tshuva of Rav Asher. I brought it as an example of how we apply ein iser chal al iser. I'll actually skip, I'll fast forward for a minute, because we're not going to get to this till the second or third installment of the shir. But what we're really going to get to is the following. I'll put it out to you as a teaser. We're still going, but I'm giving you a commercial teaser in the middle. If you look at many brands of dog food, I don't have a dog, but if you have a dog and you look at your dog food, you'll find that your dog food in the ingredients often has both meat and milk. Meat and milk is asur bahana. So are you allowed to feed dog food with meat and milk to your dog? They're cooked together. They're not put raw together. That's today's daf. Good, this parak. Today's daf yomi, tomorrow's daf yomi. Good, kol habasa. Oh, so this is the teaser. One second. So let's figure this out. The meat that's in your dog food, they did not buy at the Grove. It's not, they did not buy it at Aroma. They did not pay what we pay for kosher meat to use kosher meat that they're going to put into the dog food. So, the meat that's in the dog food, what kind of meat is that? Nevela. It's not trefa, it's nevela. It's nevela. So on the one hand, you have the Isser nevela. Then it got mixed with milk, cooked. It has to be cooked. It was cooked with milk. So, basar b'chalav, so Isser nevela is an Isser achila. Basar b'chalav is an Isser achila, but it's also an Isser hana. So would you say Isser chalal Isser on the nevela? Why?
Because the different Isser.
So what?
Because you're getting one Isser.
Remember what the exceptions to the rule are. The exceptions are Mosif, Kolel, Basachas, and Chomer. Which one of those categories is Basar B'chalav?
Is it please? It was cooked. It wasn't cooked together.
It was cooked together. Otherwise, it's not Basar B'chalav. So it was cooked together.
It's both in Mosif and Kolel.
How?
Before you were not able to. Before you were, the milk itself you could use, but now that you included it together, you cooked it, so you expanded and expanded on it.
You're viewing it from the milk. I'm viewing it as a mixture. So, chamor, who said chamor? Why is it chamor? Nevela is only asr b'achila. Basar b'chalav, meat and milk is asr b'ana. So when it was just meat, non-kosher meat, it was nevela. Now that you cooked it together to make dog food, it's hana. Oh, yeah. Our rules of chamor should say, Isser chal al Isser.
But it's not kosher.
And in fact, so,
what?
Who said that basar b'chalav is only with kosher meat?
What if it is kosher?
If it is kosher meat, so then there's only one Isser, basar b'chalav for sure, it's asr b'hana.
Right.
The question is, if it's not kosher meat, Isser nevela, Isser achila, and now you have basar b'chalav, who cooked it? The dog food company. You, as the owner of the pet, you're feeding it to your pet. We are assuming that feeding your dog is a hana. I'll tell you another. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. I said, I don't know when. Hopefully before Pesach. We'll get to it. But the Darche Tshuva has another example of this. The Darche Tshuva says, he's quoting the Yeshua's Yankif. Nishal ba'echad sheyesh lo machala shilshul dam. You'll excuse me. But there's a person who had bloody diarrhea. Person had a gastrointestinal issue, Crohn's, colitis, a bleeding ulcer. And the doctors had a wonderful remedy. What was the remedy? Don't try this at home. Take the fat of a ox and boil it with milk. Smear the person with the mixture of fat from an ox with cooked with milk, and that mixture, don't steal this from me, I'm getting the patent on it. If you make a cream, Taka, I bet you'd sell a lot if you made a cream. And you said this has a rabbinic tradition. You rub the cream, wherever you rub the cream, we'll leave out for now, but you rub the cream and you'll heal. Yektas toelas lamachaloso, and there'll be a toelas. So are you allowed to? So chelev, sure, the fat of an ox is osur. Chelev, it's an isra chelev, it's an isra achila. You cooked it with milk, now it's basa b'chalav, you've added an isra hana. So is the second isra that includes an isra hana chal on the first isra or not? These are essentially the same question. Can you feed meat cooked with milk, dog food, to your dog as hana? Can you shmir chelev cooked with chalav? So confusing, by the way, that when the Acharonim go through the sugya, they have the same letters, Ches, Lamed, Beis, and in parentheses, sometimes they write Tzere, and sometimes they write Kamatz, because it's so confusing, Chelev and Chalav. So Baruch Hashem, they help us. It's reassuring to know they were also confused. Chelev b'Chalav. The Darche Tshuva says, Chelev, B'Tzere, Tzadik Yud, Reish Yud, B'Tzere, with a Tzere. Tzere is a dictum. Some of you just look like you got sick. So, Chelev b'Chalav. So it's the same question. Will the second Isser be Chal? So that's a teaser, because we're not going to get to this till next time. Will you say Isser Chal al Isser? We're going to get into the Rambam's Nekuda Nifla. In his Perish B'Shnayis and Krisus, the third parak, the Rambam has what he calls a Nekuda Nifla. Now, I didn't give it the name Nekuda Nifla. You know who called it? Nekuda Nifla means a wondrous point, a brilliant insight. Who called it the brilliant insight? The Rambam. He says, and this insight I'm sharing with you, it's nothing less than a Nekuda Nifla. And there's a lot of Torah around the Nekuda Nifla, that's where we're going to land. But we still have got to get up in the air with Ein Issachal Lisser. So far we established Ein Issachal Lisser, that one prohibition cannot fall. If you're liable, if you're accountable for one prohibition, then you're exempt, you're protected from being liable for other. There are four exceptions. Basachas, if the two fall at once. If it's an Isser Mosif, if the second prohibition broadens, expands, because it applies to more people than what you did the first prohibition. Isser kolel. It's not expansive because it applies to more people, but it applies to you in more ways. Or isser chamor, doesn't apply to you with more foods, doesn't apply to other people, it applies to you with the same thing, but applies to you with a more, right? The whole question on the Rambam we're going to get to is, this case I've been asking you is a classic isser chamor. Where at first it was only asr ba'achila. At first you only couldn't eat it. Now, can you not only can't eat it, you can't get hana. So shouldn't the second isra apply to the first? The Rambam says it doesn't. And that's what you have to get to the understanding, the bottom line of, why does the Rambam say that it doesn't? So, the fourth was an isra chamar. When do we say ein isra chal al isra? So I'll tell you an amazing Rav Elchanan, page number 9. Rav Elchanan is dealing with the following question. It's a kasha that was asked by the Noda B'Yehuda. The Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Chaf Aleph, or on page number 9, I'm telling it to you outside. The Gemara in Shavuos Daf Chaf Aleph tells us, "Ein Shvua Chala Al Yisurim." What if I become a Grace Kenaker and I want to impress all of you, and I want to show you just how righteous and just how virtuous and just how pious I am? So I say, "Heilige members of the Boca Raton Synagogue, men's afternoon kolel, I hereby take a Shvua not to eat." Basar b'chalav. I hereby take a shvua not to eat nevela. It's not enough for me the Torah prohibits it. I want to show you my zeal, my zealousness for not violating Torah, that I take a shvua not to violate this Isser. Will the Shvua be Chal? So the Gemara says no. Why does the Gemara say no? Because it says, hey, Grace Kanaker, you already took a Shvua. When did you take the Shvua? When you stood in Har Sinai, the whole reason that it's also for you to begin with is because you took a collective Shvua that you can't eat Nevela, you can't eat Basa B'chalot. So you think you're such a big... It's like you stand up and you say, I hereby commit to pay the Shul dues. Right, big guy, tough guy, you have to pay the Shul, you're a member of the Shul. Yeah, it's not some big pledge. So when you give the big pledge, I'm taking a Shvua not to eat something that's Asur, you're already Mujba V'omed. Asks the Nod Yehuda Rabbi Cheskalanda, why does the Gemara have to give the reason that Mujba V'omed because you already took the Shvua? Why not just say because Ein Issachal Al Isser? You already have an Isser to eat those things. So the Shvua can't create a second Isser for you. Why do we have to come up with this whole other answer, the Mujba V'omed, just answer Ein Issachal Al Isser? Azoy is the Kasha of the Nod Yehuda. The Nod Yehuda answers, because Be'emes Yeshnu Shnei Ta'amim. It's a balabatish. I'm not accusing the Nodabi Yehuda of a balabatish answer, but it's a balabatish answer. The Nodabi Yehuda says, all right, in a chanami, you have two reasons. A shvua doesn't chal, a vow, doesn't apply to something that's already prohibited for two reasons. Number one, because ain't a sechal, and number two, because mushba v'omid. But Rabbi Chanan is not satisfied with the reason the Nodabi Yehuda gives. So Rabbi Chanan says the following, where I have the arrow on page number 9. And Rabbi Chanan explains it based on a Tosos. And he says the following. He says the following. Everyone see where we are? Page 9, top right corner. Where the arrow happens to be. V'nira l'fi divrei tosos perek ha-sholech. D'v'isser shvua eina al maisa sh'nishbo aleha. Ela al chilul hadibur. For isser chal al isser, it has to be that what you're doing violates both isurim simultaneously. You only get into this discussion of Isser Chal Isser or Ein Chal Isser if the same act is the driver of both Isurim. That's when you talk about it. So a Kohen is tummy, it's Truma Tameya, the same act of eating. On the one hand, it gets him on the Behis Tameya. On the other hand, it gets him that the food is Tameya. But that one act of eating drives both Isurim. When it comes to violating a Shavua, what's the driver that you violated the Shavua? The fact that you ate? No, the fact that you violated your vow. It happens to be that the way you violated your vow was by eating, because the vow was that you wouldn't eat. But the eating is not the driver. The eating is not the machayev that you violated the shvua. What you violated the shvua was that you took a vow you weren't going to do something, and you did it. And you did it. Chilul hadibur. When you spoke and took the vow, you violated your vow, your pledge, your speech. So when it comes to a shvua, you can't say ein esachal lisser. Kigon benishbash lo yochal nevela. Isser nevela hu amaisa achila. V'isser shvua lo al achila mitzar atzma. Rak achila hadibur. Ela kevin she'adei achila asu mechal diburo memela asu lechal. So Rav Chanan says, again, let's go back. The Gemara said, shvua is narchal on isser. If I take a vow not to eat something that's already prohibited, that vow will not, I won't be bound by the vow. Why? The Gemara says, because Mushbava Omed Me'ar Sinai. Because a vow, it doesn't fall on a vow. And you already took a vow. The whole reason it was prohibited to begin with is because you already took a vow. And a vow doesn't apply to a vow. So the Nodav Yudah asks, why not just say Ein Issachal Al Isser? And he gave his answer, okay, both of them apply. Ein Issachal Al Isser, Ein Mushbava Omed. Rav Chanan doesn't like it. So Rav Chanan's back to the question. Why does the Gemara need to give me that Mushba V'omid? The reason a Shavua doesn't apply is because you already took a Shavua. Why not say the reason a Shavua doesn't apply is the classic reason, Ein Issachal Al Isser? So he explains, and this is so important for us to understand in understanding Ein Issachal Al Isser. The only time you say Ein Issachal Al Isser, that a prohibition doesn't fall on a prohibition, is when the same act is the way to violate both prohibitions. But when you took a vow not to eat and then you ate, the act of eating is not what makes you violate the vow. It's the fact that you said something and you went against what you said. It happens to be the way you went against what you said is through eating. But you also could have taken a vow, I'll never drive a German-made car. And if you drive a German-made car, you violated the shvua. A shvua is lav dafka through eating. You can make a vow about many things. And you could violate a vow about many things. So true, this vow had to do with eating, and it was violated by eating, but eating is not the violation of the vow. The violation of the vow is that you made a promise, you said something, and you went against what you said. So therefore, you wouldn't say Einis or Chalal Isser, because the act of eating in the Vela, a Treif, a Basa, B'chalav, is driven, what makes that violation is the act of eating. Whereas the violation of the vow is not the act of eating, it's the fact that you violated Diburo, you violated what you said, and therefore you need Mushba V'Omei Me'ar Sinai to learn Ein Shvua Chalal Isser, because without it, you wouldn't apply Ein Isser Chalal Isser. And Rav Chanan gives another example. Maybe this will illustrate it better for you. He says, what happens? Fascinating. K'mohotza Shabbos V'Achilas Yom Kippur. What happens if you have food, Shabbos falls on Yom Kippur, falls on Shabbos, you put something in your mouth from the Rishus HaYachid, and you chew it while you walk into the Rishus HaRabim and swallow it. So, by having the food in your mouth, you did two things. You carried it from one Rishus to another, you violated Hotzah, you carried. And number two, you ate on Yom Kippur. So would you say, Ein Isser Chalal Isser? We could only get you on one of them? He says, Af Sheshneim Nasu Aidei Abliya. You both carried through having it in your mouth? And you wait on Yom Kippur, but lo shayach einis echal iser. U'mishimachit tzarich l'taim et ein shvua chal ashvua mishvua me'mar sinai. You wouldn't say inch, why? Because I can carry with my hands, I can carry on my head, I can carry in my mouth. It happens to be I violated carrying by having it in my mouth, but eating in my mouth was not the driver, the machayev. That the fact that I ate something wasn't the violation of otzah. Is that I was mavir mir l'shus l'shus. It also happened to be that the way I was mavir mir l'shus l'shus also happened to violate Yom Kippur. But I wouldn't say Ein Isser. There I'd say Isser Chalal Isser. Why? They're two separate Isurim. They're two separate experiences, two separate acts. You understand Rav Chanan? It's a gevaldik Rav Chanan, no? It's bebas achas. Again, bas achas would be predicated on the fact that the one act that you're doing is what's violating both Isurim. Rav Chanan's chiddush is that the one act you're doing is not violating the two Isurim. The two Isurim are violated by separate acts. They look like they overlap, but lav davka do they have to overlap? And because lav davka do they have to overlap, that's not called bas achas. That's not called, that's his chiddush. If you ate treifa, which is a nevela, if you ate nevela, which is a tmeya, so the one act of eating is the source of both in Yisurim. But here, the fact that you're carrying in your mouth, you could carry in a lot of other ways. The fact that you vowed not to eat and then you ate, there's a lot of other things that you could take a vow about and you could violate. So Rav Chanan has sharpened for us, when you say Einis Echal Isser, when you don't say. What's Basachas? What's not Basachas? It's a very, very powerful, very powerful. Let me give you a preview to next week, because we're out of time. And even though Rabbi Shachar's not here to wave his arms at me in protest, he's in Eretz Yisrael, but I'm still stopping here anyway. So I'll give you a preview for next time. First of all, we talked about the Nekuda Neflah of the Rambam, and if anybody here has Chalila, bleeding hemorrhoids, whether we can use the cream, and whether you could feed this dog food to your dog. So we're going to have to leave the Nekuda Neflah of the Rambam and how we paskin with that till next time. But where we begin next time is with the classic Chakira of Einis Echal Isser. How do you understand the Einis Echal Isser? This is the classic Chakira. Is Einis Echal Isser mean that the second Isser is there and I violated it, I just don't get an onish, I don't get the punishment? So when the Gemara said that one Isser is not Chal on another Isser, it only meant that I don't get two liability, I don't get two punishments. Or did it mean that you didn't even violate a second Isser? That Einis Echal Isser means that if we got you on one count, we dismiss, we didn't even get you, there's not even a second Isser. What's the nafkamina? We're going to go through several nafkaminas, including a Kohen Gadol who sleeps with his almana sister. That's Rav Yosef Engel's nafkamina. We're going to go through some great nafkaminas, four nafkaminas, but that's the classic Chakira and Ein Isser Chalal Isser, because that's my job. In the Shas Sug Yashir, we just get, I don't have any chidushim at all, I just package it, we get a literacy on it, we see the classic Chakira. So the classic Chakira, Ein Isser Chalal Isser is, does Ein Isser Chalal Isser mean you're exempt from the onus, the punishment, but there's still an Isser? Or does it mean, not only are you exempt from the punishment, there's not even an Isser? Once you were found guilty on one Isser, there's not even a second Isser. What are the nafkaminas between them? Mirtz Hashem, we'll see you next Monday. 2:45 mincha, the new early mincha at BRS every day, 2:45, followed by 3 o'clock.